A 3 pence increase in fuel duty this January is still looming, despite claims that petrol prices are already hitting hard-priced families very hard. Last night, MPs rejected a Labour call for the increase to be delayed. The government's own backbenchers also voted it down after the Chancellor, George Osborne, hinted he may delay it anyway in his autumn statement. Northern Ireland MPs backed the Labour bid, and I'm joined now by North Belfast MP Nigel Dodds. Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning. We took the position. This has been a long-standing position of the Democratic Unionist Party when these matters come before Parliament. I mean, Northern Ireland in particular, but across the United Kingdom, I mean, the price of petrol and diesel has reached extraordinary levels. We've now become used to almost to the idea of petrol and diesel being at sort of £1.40, £1.50, almost a litre. But, you know, I mean, this is only a recent phenomenon. It used to be much less than that. And the fact is that the government are proposing to put an extra 3p in fuel duty. That will also increase the rate of VAT, because VAT is levied on the overall price of litre of petrol. And at the minute, 81p out of every litre of petrol goes to fill the government's coffers. You know, every time a motorist fills up their car or a business has to fill up a van or a lorry, 60% of what's going into the tank is, in terms of costs, is fuel duty and VAT. Now, that means that we're paying the highest fuel duty, the second highest in the entire European Union. It means that our diesel prices are the highest in the European Union, our petrol prices are the fourth highest. And this is simply a too great a burden, in my view, for motorists, for hard-pressed families, for individuals, for businesses, because the cost of all these fuel duties have to be then added on in terms of business costs. And I think it's time that the Treasury realised that, you know, they can't press the motorists and businesses and hard-pressed families any more in this area. And that's why we voted last night to do away with this 3p rise in fuel duty.
Well, environmental campaigner Jeff Cazard is on the line. Good morning, Jeff.
Hello, Lisa.
Well, what do you think about what Nigel Dodds has said?
Well, there are no figures in there. This price rise for the average UK motorist would be about £60 a year. That's £1.13 a week. Now, Northern Ireland motorists don't drive those same kind of distances because it's a smaller land area. So I really would like somebody to tell me how Northern Ireland motorists are hard-pressed.
Nigel Dodds, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I mean, I think I've already set out the position. I mean, in Northern Ireland, because of our rural nature of most of Northern Ireland, because of the fact that we're in the periphery, it already bears higher costs as a result in terms of extra transport costs.
Yeah, but how much will the average motorist be paying? It can't even be 50 or 60 pence.
Well, I've just outlined, as well as the 3p increase, look at what has already been levied on motorists. Look at the fact, as I've pointed out, that 60% of every time that you go to the pump, that 60% of the costs are already going to the government in fuel duty and VAT. So this isn't just a question of, well, it's 3p and it amounts to this. Already motorists, already families, already hard-pressed businesses are paying an enormous amount in tax and fuel duty and VAT.
I understand that.
Petrol and diesel. And if I can just finish this point, already enormous amounts of money going to the revenue, already enormous amounts of money being taken out of the pockets of hard-pressed families and businesses in fuel duty and VAT. And for anyone to suggest that, you know, on top of the already massive burden, that somehow this burden should be increased is absolutely ridiculous. Because, I mean, the recent Fair Fuel Duty report that was done by the Fair Fuel Campaign showed that this planned rise will actually destroy jobs.
Well, with the greatest of respect.
Well, let me just finish the point.
Well you're on a bit of a filibuster here with the greatest respect.
No, I'm not. I'm answering the point. It will cut growth, and that it will only improve the deficit by far less than the Treasury is saying. So I'm saying, give a bit of relief to the hard-pressed motorists instead of doing what you're doing, adding to the burden.
Okay, Jeff, do you want to respond to that? And also, I mean, you do think that petrol's too cheap as it is?
Well, I do. Let's be frank about it. But the report from the Fair Fuel Duty Campaign, who are backed by the RAC, is just another special interest group. If people pay in Northern Ireland, as I suspect they will do, not £1.13 extra a week, but somewhere between 50 and 60p, that 50 or 60p is supporting jobs in car servicing, their own jobs, their own transportation needs, and indeed petrol retailers and what have you. So to simply say it's cutting jobs is one of the most specious arguments I've ever heard. The fact is that nowhere in the world do motorists or lorry drivers pay the external costs of the damage they're doing to people's health, including children's health around schools, including climate change, including the noise from vehicles 24 hours a day, etc., etc. If you put those externalities, which is a well-established economic principle, on petrol prices, they should rise by between 40 and 50%.
John's in Bangor this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Would you like to respond to Jeff?
Yes, I'd like to respond to that, Mon. He's complaining about the Northern Ireland prices for petrol and stuff like that over here. And he says it shouldn't do this, that and the other. Now, I would ask that, Mon, about the price he pays for insurance in England compared to what we pay in Northern Ireland. In some cases, three times more. Plus the fact, the cost of living in Northern Ireland is higher than the cost of living in England. And we're also being hit with lower wages than what they have over in England. Is he not taking those things into consideration? And a car is a commodity that some people need in Northern Ireland because of where they live. The transport, the supply is not of no use to them.
Well, I understand that. I mean, this is Jeff Gazzard here. I mean, the thing that I would say is I would be happy to support Nigel Dodds if he campaigned for a living wage in Northern Ireland. I'm not sure if that is one of his political points. But certainly, looking at the points that contributor has just made, obviously peripheral regions sometimes pay more for petrol. That's, as petrol companies tell us, the cost of distribution. But what is this price rise for Northern Ireland? It can only be between 50 and 60 pence a week for the average motorist. And that is not going to collapse Northern Ireland's economy, is it? Let's be frank.
Nigel Dodds, I know you have to go this morning. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think that we heard what Jeff's real agenda is about this. I mean, he's not contentious with 3p rise in petrol and diesel prices. He wants to see it go through the roof even more. He wants a 40 to 50% rise. So let everybody out here who's listening to this program be aware that where he and some of his people are coming from is that, you know, petrol is far, far too cheap. Diesel is far, far too cheap. And on purely environmental ground, it should be raised to astronomical levels, where we're already paying the highest prices for diesel in Europe, where we're already the fourth highest for petrol in Europe. So this is a sort of attack on living standards and the profits of private companies and businesses and jobs that these people are about. So I think that what we will do is continue to campaign. I'm very relieved and encouraged to hear reports in Westminster that the Chancellor is going to reconsider this in the autumn statement. We will keep the pressure on behalf of our constituents, our businesses, our hard-pressed families, to ensure that the burden that they're already paying is not added to and that people like Jeff don't get their way and increase these prices through the roof.
Okay, Nigel Dodds, thank you for talking to us this morning. I know you have to go. Steve Berry, the motoring journalist, is also on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Does Nigel have to rush off to have his soapbox refurbished? Good grief. I mean, politicians, here's a tip for aspiring politicians. Ask people whether they'd like to pay less tax. I mean, are you going to get one phone call? One. Are you going to get one phone call from one person who says, I would like to pay more fuel duty? No, you're not. But that's because people aren't thinking where that fuel duty goes. I'm not with Nigel and I'm not with Jeff. I am one of those very rare people who thinks the price of petrol and diesel is about right now. People need to think about this. You're talking about hard-pressed families. Okay, you have cheap petrol, and one of the consequences of cheap fuel is that hard-pressed families in rural communities, who I appreciate, need a car, can't afford to live in those rural communities because people, if they've got cheap fuel, will commute to the cities from the lovely little rural part of the world that they live in, and the people who live there and work there will be driven out by increased house prices. People need to look at the bigger picture. I mean, yes, the price of fuel is the Chancellor's putting the fuel duty up. If he doesn't put it on fuel, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to walk away from that revenue. He's not going to need that revenue. He's going to get it from somewhere else. We either pay it in fuel duty or we pay it another way. You know, that's just the reality of life in the 21st century.
Okay, Steve and Jeff, I want you to listen to Peter, who's in Belfast. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, struggling.
It sounds like it. What happens if this 3p a litre goes on fuel?
Well, it's on the cusp of putting me out of business. I run a small gardening business, and the price of diesel in the van plus the machinery I use is all petrol operated. So I have one of my biggest outgoings at the moment is fuel, and to add that on to customers' bills with the raise is gonna be a lot of customers walking away. They're getting it tight as it is, and I'm also getting it tight, say mainly through fuel. So I would agree with the local government there wanting a cap put on fuel duty.
Jeff, what would you say to Peter? You think it's too cheap, you want it to go up, and Peter's saying if it goes up, it'll put him out of business.
Well, there are two things. In days gone past, we didn't have petrol-powered strimmers, and we cut, you know, weeds and with other implements. I'm not a great fan of strimmers, I have to say. But the fact of the matter is, if you're registered for VAT, the VAT is
relatively... On a commercial basis.
Well, hang on a second. If you're registered for VAT, the VAT isn't part of this equation because you claim that's an import and output tax. And surely...
It's a small business, and my income wouldn't... You know, it's not registered as... You know, you need... there's only myself.
Right, I understand. Okay, so you have to absorb the VAT. But then in that case, you're pricing what the your overheads are and what the market can afford. And nobody is actually able to tell us, apart from saying that your prices are going to go up, exactly how much a week this will be. I understand the difficulties of people who are like gardeners and single, you know, person businesses. But the fact is, you know, you could perhaps get a newer van that's more economical. You could drive a bit more slowly. There are efficiencies and savings. Yeah, honestly, pump the tyres up.
Why are you laughing, Peter?
But that's what you do. That's how you save money on petrol consumption.
I am already saving as best as I can through fuel economy driving, through using the van as little as possible. There's it's used just for business.
And will you be able to put your prices up and pass this on? How much extra per job? And I know they vary. Do you think this is going to cost your customer?
Well, it's a lot of my customers are on the point of saying, actually, Peter, we can't afford to keep you on as the gardener anymore. Already, so even a small price increase will put some of my customers off my books.
Right, but is this a function of the general economy or just petrol prices?
Well, mainly for me through petrol prices, but the general economy as well, because, like I say, customers are finding it tight to find the money to keep me.
Steve Berry, sorry, Peter, but Steve hasn't had a chance to talk to you yet. Jeff's been monopolising you. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I just think that sometimes, I mean, I'm in that situation myself. You know, I live in London. I don't like living in London. I'm a Mancunian born and bred. I prefer to live in the northwest of England. I would like to be able to commute on a weekly basis to go back up to Manchester to see my kids. Now, when I do that, what I do is I go on the old bus, I think we all know the old MB of £5 a pop up to Manchester. I've got a nice car.
You see me getting on the bus with a lawnmower and a trimmer and the hedge trimmers.
Well,
let me say something, mate. Your job's gone then. If at the end of the... You know, Mr. Pickwick, Dickens, you know, expenditure and income. If you're not getting the income from your job, if the output is more than the income, that job's gone. I come from a part of the world where the industry was decimated and it went away. That's capitalism, free market forces. If you put your prices up and your customers won't pay it, that job's gone. Get another job.
What would you suggest to do?
I haven't got a clue what you should do, but like me, I had to get off my arse and go 250 miles to London to get a job. Why don't you do that?
No, Steve, to be totally fair to Peter, he's got a job. He's out working.
Rather than end up on the dole.
If he's not earning enough from the job, then that job's over. That's the way the market works, mate. Sorry. You know, I come from a part of the world where there were 25 paper mills and there's now one in 30 years. The world changes.
I'll tell you what, stop shouting over each other.
Otherwise, I'll put the phone down on both of you. Peter, you can respond to Steve there.
So if I wrap up the business then, Steve, will you help me fill in applications and pay for me to go to a job interview?
I've had three jobs in the last 5 years. I've had one in Salford, one and two in London. You've got it sometimes, and I've got three kids up in the northwest. Sometimes, mate, life is tough. Get a crash helmet.
It is very, very tough. I would like a little bit of help.
You don't seem to want to put the effort in. I've put the effort in. I've moved 250 miles to take a job. What about you?
Dave, I travel all over Belfast and the surrounding areas to work.
You can't afford to travel all over Belfast. Forget it. It's over. Or put your prices up. And if they won't stand the price increase, then I'm afraid you need to look for another job. That's the way it is.
Well, there aren't that many jobs out there, mate. You see how many people are applying for the very few jobs that there are?
I've had 6 months unemployed this year. I got made redundant in May. My employer decided that they were going to go to a fully automated service overnight, so I lost my job. I spent 5 months looking for a job. I got another job. It's 250 miles away from my home. But do you know what? If I sat on my arse watching Jeremy Kyle all day in Manchester, that's going to get me nowhere, isn't it? I had to get up off my arse and get a job.
Okay, we've had enough. We've had quite enough of that word this morning, Steve. That's fine.
My apologies to everybody listening.
That's okay. Let's bring in Jeff again. Jeff, what I'm still confused about from your point of view is that you say petrol is too cheap. Why?
Let me say I have every sympathy for people who are facing hardship, but the hardship has got to be separated from a small increase in petrol prices. I know it's a lot to fill up a tank, but I would honestly stress that you can get about more economically just by driving very carefully, and these savings can and should be made, and everybody can do it and can try a bit harder. The fact is that if you drive a car in a city, including even in Belfast, let alone the big conurbations up and down the UK, you will be contributing to an air pollution burden that doesn't meet health standards. You do that through the nitrous oxides in your exhaust and the particulate matter. If you talk to doctors and public health specialists, we know that those kind of levels cause premature deaths, asthma attacks, shortness of breath, and people with pre-existing conditions do lose their lives, and their lives are shortened as a result of the burden of disease from road traffic fumes. That is not paid for in the cost of petrol. We also know that the burden climate change worldwide, look at Hurricane Sandy, the deaths and the enormous cost of recovering from those kinds of incidents fall on insurers and the people who are impacted.